your hands, lift your voices, and let's worship Him in this way. Nehemia, Nehemia. One more time. Spirit of the living God, we have come again to feast upon the wisdom that only the Spirit of God can give. Our lives are dependent on your word. Our lives are dependent on the sent word. This morning our hearts are open and we ask that you will speak to us, grant us insight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you and good morning. Pastor, thank you. I honor you. I celebrate you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. The Lord began to speak to me early this morning. And I had a number of things to share. But the Lord just impressed it again upon my spirit to just focus on one or two points that I would be communicating even as we celebrate the hand of God upon this great church and the ministry of Pastor Pete Rock. Amen. Tonight I want to share with us, or this tonight is every time, it doesn't matter whether it's, I want to share with us on the power of light. The mystery of spiritual illumination. And that light can set him to another dimension. Pray in 1 minute and say, Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Go ahead and pray. Open my eyes, O God. God of heaven, open my eyes. Open my eyes. The sun will no more give you sunlight by day. The moon will no more give you moonlight by night. Jehovah will be your everlasting light. He'll be your glory, your strength and your sight. The light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. And the light of the sun will shine 7 times as bright. When Yahweh binds up the wounds of this world, heals all the bruises inflicted by this world. Hallelujah. I just sensed in my spirit to sing that song because I believe that many of us will step into a new dimension of illumination. 1 Peter chapter 2. Jesus, we honor you. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 9. Let me read here for time's sake. Okay, we have it projected. The Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation. It's not enough to know that we are a generation. This revelation is very powerful because you see, the dealings of God is dispensational. Are we together now? The dealings of God with one generation may connect with another generation, but it's not the same thing. So it's important in the dealings of God to identify what generation you belong. It will help you to know what body of truth that you should press for within the context of that generation. What God did as the God of Abraham was not the same thing he did as the God of Isaac. Are we together? Was not the same thing as he did as the God of Jacob. So the Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation. Then it says, you are a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now look at this scripture very closely. The Bible says we are many things. One of it is a chosen generation. The second is that we are a priesthood that is also royal. The third is that we are a holy nation. The fourth is that we are a peculiar people. And all these dimensions, these four dimensions, the Bible says that they are possible simply because we were brought into a body of knowledge called marvelous light. Listen carefully. So, aside from that marvelous light, there is no possibility of becoming this. The secret, the edge, the mystery that made us that chosen generation, chosen because there was a body of knowledge allocated for a generation whom it would please God to grant them access to. It's not just the issue of fasting or prayer. It's not just the issue of, oh God, no. A generation was chosen by the predeterminate counsel of God. And there is a body of knowledge that he had hidden to be given to a generation. And it so happens to be that by the election of grace, that generation happens to be us. Are we together now? And so we are accessing dimensions of the Spirit that have not been known before now. And it's not necessarily because we are doing anything different. It is the privilege of his grace and his mercy that a body of knowledge called marvelous light, not just light. Remember, the Bible says God made many lights, and that those lights were to signify times and seasons, but then he made two great lights. And then the Bible says one of such lights will rule in the day, and then the other rules in the night. So what do you think happens to a man who sustains marvelous light? He would rule in the day, and he will rule in the night. The edge we have as a generation, it's not our size, it's not our eloquence, it's not our education, but like an occult, we have been initiated into a body of knowledge that has been reserved. You know that in this kingdom we rise because of the light we sustain. Isaiah 60 and verse 1 says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. In fact, Amplified puts it this way. It says, arise from the depression and the prostration that situations and circumstances have kept you. It said, rise to a new light. It tells you what to arise from. Are we together now? Rise to a new light. You don't arise because you are tired of staying in that position. You don't arise because you are willing to stand up. It is when your light comes. Remember, the light is always available. It is when it comes to you. Then it has the opportunity, the capacity to pick you up. He told the prophet, stand up, but he did not have the strength. And then he says, the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and he set me upon my feet. So the edge here, back to our scripture, is marvelous light. Marvelous light. The difference between the result of any two persons in the kingdom is not necessarily the love of God, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Are we together? It may not even necessarily be the disparity in the call, the election, but that either by reason of God's mercy and grace, or by reason of their personal press and commitment in the Spirit, they have come to a dimension where they have accessed light. John chapter 1 verse 5 says, and the light shineth in darkness. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Spiritual illumination. When God calls a man, God does not send that man until he lightens your life. Listen carefully. The Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, but a candle without light on it is useless. So the Holy Spirit causes that the light of God's word comes upon that candle, and when that happens, you no longer can be hidden under a table, because the light there will burn it until everybody knows there is light here. We have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. A body of knowledge, not just any kind of knowledge. There is a specific kind of knowledge that is responsible for the results that we desire even in this season. And the Bible says that light has been kept for a generation. There were generations that knew about the possibility of that light. By prophetic insight, they knew that if they accessed that light, they would be greater than they were, but it was not given to them. And now God has called us into this dimension, the marvelous light of the Spirit. So he opens your eyes to see things that sometimes, you know, let me tell you something about the Word of God. It's not everything about the Word of God that can be understood by study. There is a dimension of the light of God that is understood by impartation. Are we together now? It's very strange how it comes. He imparts it upon your spirit, and then over the process of time, your mind begins to assimilate it like nutrients, and then you now begin to understand what happened to you. Marvelous light, calling us into a level of illumination. This is the secret of dominion. This is the secret of exploits in the kingdom. I hope you know that in this kingdom, the only way to commit God is through his word. You don't commit God. God is touched with the feelings of your infirmity, but he's not moved by the feelings of your infirmity. He's touched, but moved by his word. When you commit God to his word, you commit his integrity over that matter. If God were moved just by our tears alone, then the children in Sudan, the children that our dear missionaries are laboring over, would not have to cry for long. It's amazing how he's touched, but he looks helpless until his word commits him. Listen very carefully. This is not a kingdom that operates emotionally. There are keys. Matthew 13 verse 11, it says, and Jesus said, it has been given to you to know. To know. The word know there is not the word aware. It's the same word that is used as a man knowing his wife. It has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. This kingdom is a kingdom of mysteries. There are mysteries that are responsible for breakthrough. There are mysteries responsible for speed. There are mysteries responsible for deliverance. There are mysteries responsible for prosperity. It's not a key. One key does not open every door. That you have one key does not guarantee that every door will be open. The door you may need open, you may not have the key. It has been given to you. He said, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Not a key. I will give you the keys, access to the various dimensions. The Bible tells us that salvation has wells, and all of those wells don't produce the same thing. There are dimensions of possibilities enshrined in every of the wells, and you must know how to draw. I can know what well you are drawing from by the possibilities that your life commands. Are we together? We are chosen. We are elected because we were brought into a body of knowledge that affords us the opportunity to manifest possibilities that are not affordable to the ordinary person. Are we together? There is a level of light you can get in ministry that will produce results that even demons will know that God is assisting this man. The Bible is a compendium of mysteries. From Genesis to Revelation, we see strange things happen that should not happen. And the Bible is not, it's not unfair to not let us know the mysteries that are responsible for this. You read the Bible and you see, sir, that God turns situations around in ways that should not happen. And for every result in the kingdom, there is a body of light that is responsible for that outcome. Can I have two people again? this guy, this my chicken guy is coming again. God bless you. It's too early to eat chicken, so I'm safe. Praise God. Please come, sir. Watch this. You stand there. Pastor, can I use this bowl? Just let me do this. Just hold this. Now, this is what, just turn and face me. This is the result this gentleman is looking for. Are we together now? Your intention is not enough to deliver the result. Not even your sincerity. There are many well-meaning believers on earth, brothers and sisters, who desire certain dimensions, and they think that sincerity is the only seed, the only key that is required. There are many things that are needed. This gentleman wants this. His assignment is not to keep wishing. His assignment is not to keep guessing. His assignment is to find out the spiritual pathway that has been allocated by God. Not by men, not by theology, not by doctrines, not by the pride of men who have carved together pieces of information that look biblical but are not an accurate pathway. This is why the Holy Spirit was given to us. He said, I have many things to tell you now, but ye cannot bear them. He said, how be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. He didn't say he would tell you. It's a guidance. You say, no, this is not needed for your dispensation. Let me coordinate you like a compass. There is a body of knowledge that is needed for the result that this generation needs. And he will guide you in all truth, into all truth. And he will show you everything that is of me. The Spirit of God. So now this gentleman is standing here. And between him and this result, this result could be financial prosperity. This could be increase in the anointing. This could be a realm in the prophetic, a realm of the miraculous, whatever dimension. Watch this. The fact that your life has not captured that experience and that possibility does not mean it doesn't exist. Did you know that if this gentleman tries again and again and again and again and fails to do it, he will create a theology out of his failure to explain that this dimension is not possible? Usually that's what happens. When failure becomes repeated in our lives, it stings our ego, and we have to come up with a system of explanation to explain the fact that God may not be willing to do this. Are we together? A body of knowledge. That means something I do not know is responsible for the lack of results I'm receiving in my life. It is true. Something I do not know may be responsible for my repeated pain, my repeated predicaments, my cycle. I keep recycling woes to my life because there may be a dimension of light that has not come to me. Number two, something I may have known but have not believed may also be responsible for my failure. And that is even more frustrating than ignorance. The fact that you are aware of that possibility does not mean you understand how to engage it appropriately. Something I do not know is responsible for my failure. Something that I may have known, I'm aware of that possibility in the kingdom, but I've not had the requisite level of understanding to engage the forces accordingly, may also be responsible for my limitation. And something I may have believed but have not consistently acted upon may also be responsible. Every challenge in producing results can be traceable to a dimension of light that has not come to you. So this brother is handed a key, and all of a sudden he is taught how to walk, and he receives that result. Notice that the result will not refuse to come to you. Results are like hospitals. They don't come to you. They are there. You find your way there. No hospital looks for patients around. The hospital is built with all the potentials there. And a patient who is desperate for treatment, even if you deserve ICU, you have to find a way of getting there. The treatment happens right there. Are we together? Thank you, sir. Thank you. God bless you. This could be your desire for breakthrough, your desire for increase, your desire for plenty. What dimension of spiritual truth do you not know? What dimension may be needed in this season to be added to what you already have, to shift you literally, to quantum leap you to a new dimension? I am constantly in prayer that God reveals to me what I do not know. I'm grateful for what I know, but I'm aware that if I knew more, I wouldn't be at this level. So I'm like a spiritual archaeologist, hunting passionately for the dimensions of truth and light and illumination that might be responsible for the next dimension. It's amazing how cheap life can be when you know what to do. When you know what to do, for Jesus himself knew what to do. It's painful to not know what to do. Master, we have toiled all night. I've done the best I know to do. Knowledge is powerful. It's not enough to know. You must know enough. When a student gets F in school, F is not zero. F means it's less than 40, the benchmark that was put. So it's not enough to have knowledge. You must know enough to command the result you desire. When a student fails, he didn't necessarily get zero. Even if you got 39.5, in as much as we know, if the pass mark is a P or an E and it's 40, 39 is still fail. You who got 39 and somebody who didn't write the exam have the same destiny. So it's not enough to know. I know something about prosperity. I know something about the anointing. I know something about ministry. I know something about growth. I am not in total ignorance, but you still fall short because life has a benchmark. There is a dimension of the force of life that must push you beyond a threshold level to command certain results. It's not enough to know. We know little of many things. And sometimes we flatter ourselves about the fact that we are aware. I can drive small. Can you drive to the airport? Not exactly, but I can move the car. I guarantee you. Moving the car is not what you need. You want to be able to drive well. I can cook a little. So what exactly can you cook? Can you cook rice? Not exactly. Yam? No. Stew? No. Soup? No. So what can you cook? I may be able to dabble in one or two things. You can't do it. So when they say those who can cook, you stand there. Those who can drive, you stand there. But your result does not show that any of these things is present. It may not be that you are lying. You don't know enough. It is not enough to have knowledge. You must have knowledge to the degree that is needed to produce the results that you desire. There is so much to know about the anointing. There is so much to know about performance. There is so much to know about the mercies of God. There is so much to know about the grace of God. This is why we must press. I'm telling you, meetings like this are truly a feast of the word, where more keys are given to you. And you say, there are 9 doors to be opened. And the Bible tells us that all doors can be opened, but as it is, 2 doors are open, and you are handed the key to the 3rd. You are handed the key to the 4th, and you rush back to the doors. They may have been there, they may even be ancient doors, but there is something that can still lift them up. He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. That means they could be lifted. Only God knows how many people those gates refuse to allow pass. But someone came, an embodiment of light. The gate said, who is this King of glory? We don't open for anybody. Once you are out, you are out. It was the gates of death and hell. Because anytime someone exits this realm, somebody from this realm must be the one to call him in. And now Jesus is about to resurrect and there's nobody on earth calling him. And the gate said, no, this is not proper. If someone goes out of this realm, there must be someone within the earth that calls him. There is no man, in as much as we know, calling Jesus back. Yet Jesus says, let the gate open. And the gate said, no. Who is this King of glory? And there was an answer. The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty. mighty in battle, and the gates opened, and gallantly he stepped back into the earth. Challenges are relative. They are not generic. Don't generalize challenges because of your frustration. Now, we must be sympathetic to the pain that challenges bring. But brothers and sisters, listen to me. Every mountain that stands before you is relative, relative to many things. Among them, the light, the spiritual illumination that you sustain. So we know the possibilities that should be in the kingdom. But my question this morning is, do we have the requisite level of light and illumination to cause those possibilities to come? Are we together? I know that in this kingdom, restoration is possible. So I would be unfair to say God cannot restore. But now my life is in need of restoration. And I'm there guessing all the principles I hope will work. But restoration is possible. He says even years. Time is the hardest thing to deal with. But God says even in my economy, there is a system that I can capture time and bring it back. It's true. Think how many people have wasted time. If you get born again at age 80, you need a miracle. You can't do much at age 80 if you have 20 more years to live. Time has gone. But there is a technology in the spirit. It doesn't need to take you backward. It shifts what is back forward. And I will restore to you. Meaning that I'm supposed to have risen 10 years ago, but because of an attack from darkness, I was kept at a position. If that limitation is taken away, it's not called restoration, it's called progress. I just keep moving at that pace. But restoration is that God does something to you and compresses time and brings all the things that are accrued to you such that if they look at your life, they can't see a sign that you were ever delayed. It's a possibility in the kingdom. And it's not strange to you, but are you aware of how to make it happen? We know that in this kingdom, favor is possible. That God can manipulate a climate of favor over a man and cause both friends and foe to come as though they were charmed to bless him. You are aware, but why is it not happening to you? Why do we call upon the name of the Lord in the face of difficulty, in desperate need for favor, and yet it looks like the heaven is barren towards us? We know for sure that men can be assisted from the realm of the spirit to produce the results that they have. How many of you know that anytime the realm of the spirit assists you, something unusual will be the outcome? It can be usual. The Bible lets us know that those we call demons today, are we together now? That they were the disembodied spirits of a generation, for instance. The Bible lets us know that the sons of, the expression sons of God there doesn't necessarily mean sons in us, we know. It was an error in translation. That they came and they went into the daughters of men and produced another species that were not pure humans. So we know for sure that if the realm of the spirit assists you, whether it's God or any other spirit, the result is always unusual. So why the usual results in our lives? It means there is a system that we have not yet tapped into. Jacob was in the house of Laban, pastor. I shared this in our ministry recently. Jacob was in the house of Laban. And Laban oppressed Jacob, exchanged his daughters, punished the man for a very long time. And the Bible lets us know, I don't want to go into that scripture, that Laban took on a 3 days journey after a negotiation with Jacob. Watch this. And Jacob said, all the animals that are speckled and all of that, they will be to me. And any other one that is not is yours. If you find any of these ones among my flock, just say I'm a thief and catch me. They say, okay. He went on a 3 days journey. And the Bible says all of a sudden, a mass reproduction started. When Jacob came back from 3 days journey, it's in the Bible, Jacob found out that almost all the cattle had become speckled. And Jacob said, what is this? What is going on? And Laban, I meant to say. And the Bible tells us the very next verse. I've read that verse for years. The Bible tells us the mystery. The male cattle that got the females pregnant were not part of Jacob's flock. They came from heaven. It's in the Bible. He saw what happened in a dream. The same way these angels came and met with. They only needed the female version of the cattle. The male version came from somewhere and produced a strange result. It's in your Bible. He saw it in a dream. An angel was standing and these male cattle were coming. There is no result that happens unusually without the realm of the spirit. God will only need what can incubate what is coming from heaven. But the life-giving factor of that result is a mystery that comes from heaven. Are we together? We know that, but how can that happen in our lives? Do we have the spiritual understanding through light to make it happen? Jesus went everywhere and someone came to listen to him. That means if I am a man of God and nobody is listening to me, there is a provision in the kingdom to make men hear you. But do I know how to tap into that possibility? 5 loaves, the Bible says, and 2 fish fed 5,000 men aside women and children. That means the problem is not necessarily what I don't have. The problem is to know what to do with what I have. But do you know it? I'm showing you the various possibilities that we desire. We are aware that these truths are captured in the power of God. But the ability to bring them to the scene so God be glorified is not there. And the Bible says, John 15 verse 8, it says, herein is my Father glorified. This is how God gets glory from my life. It says, when ye bear much fruit. When ye bear not little fruit, if marvelous light comes to you and fruit is the only thing that is produced, then you are not being fair. Because to whom much is given, much is also required. Much fruit is a product of marvelous light. A dimension, a body of fruit that is given to you. Hallelujah. Our expression of hopelessness is a call that we press deeper in God. The way we stand hopeless before situations and circumstances versus the songs we sing and say, Lord, we know that you are faithful, you can do all things. It's very clear that many of those songs, we don't even believe in them. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. You see, when failure can be a stronghold in your heart, it can educate your mind into believing God is not able. You can be used to failure. Failure can be addictive. And you can be used to results not happening in your life, that you continue to go through the ritual of that expectation and never truly insist that something must break out and change about my life. Is God speaking to us? Every one of us here, and those listening, those following online, if I ask you to write 1 or 2 things that you will want to see in your life, some of you say, Apostle, I can't write 1 or 2 things. Let me have a notebook, because there are many. The question is, what is the advantage of my coming to church? What is the advantage of my calling upon the name of the Lord? What is the advantage of my speaking the word? What is the advantage of my studying the word? What is the advantage of my prayer? What is the advantage of all the impartations if the results continue to hang continually as though God is unwilling or unable to step in and help me? I don't know if there's someone here who is truly angry at your current level and you're saying, Lord, it won't pass quantumly. I've come to the end of this stage and this level. It's time for me to shift. There has to be something. There's something I need to know. The rich man said, good master, what must I do? He didn't say, will you save me? What must I do? I know that if I'm not saved, there is something I don't understand. There's something I've not engaged. That's why he's called a rich man. The poor man will help me, because he knows that You believe that everything just happens automatically. And the rich man said, good master, I know that in your system men participate. So what is my part to play? And Jesus said, no, no, salvation is not like that. When it comes to that one, it's a gift. Nothing just happens in this kingdom until the saints in life are willing to participate through knowledge, through illumination, through obedience. Having the readiness to judge all disobedience, only if your obedience is complete. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1 and 2, when you read, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, to do and observe all that I command thee. Are we together? And then he says, verse 2, that thou shalt be exalted above all nations, and these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Then he begins to list them. It's not luck. It's not guesswork. There's no guesswork in this. There's no sentiment here. There is a dimension of light that must come to you, exposing every darkness and granting you knowledge. The entrance of thy word doesn't give information. It gives light. 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 And then with humility, that light becomes understanding. The entrance of thy word giveth light and understanding to the simple. In this kingdom, our dominion is a product of the accurate understanding of the principles and the mysteries of the kingdom. This church, your pastor, the level of excellence that we now enjoy, there's no guesswork. It can be repeated again. The moment you can repeat a process, guesswork is out of it. You are working circumspectly with understanding. Are we together? For many of us who get results here and there, it's as though we keep trying so many things, and then later on we touch something that works, and we enjoy the moment, but cannot reproduce the result again. So God wants to call us to a higher level of spiritual accuracy through knowledge, through understanding. Are we together? It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. There is something you can know that from morning till night, your life becomes an epistle of uncommon favor. Even in a land where you may think that there is nothing, there is something you can know. Look at it. The results you now experience is even supernatural. The level of poverty, the level of pain, is not normal. That means the spirit is assisting that result. If you hate me unusually, it's not natural. A spirit is empowering something around my life to create that kind of close heavens. Are we together? The unusual failure in my life is a testament that is more than my strength. I am receiving an assistance from the realm of the spirit to fail so bad to be discouraged. Please, if you're following me, say amen. We are constantly in the middle of spiritual activities, being influenced, manipulated, assisted by the Spirit of the living God and the host of heaven, or demonic spirits and their interferences in our lives. There's no neutral point, I tell you the truth. If you know this, then you can walk in victory. When Jacob had the dream in Genesis 28, Jacob did not see the angels sitting down. Nobody was speaking, but they were still going up and down, waiting. Who is going to speak on earth? We are designed to walk. God at the top of the ladder. But then he saw angels moving. Meaning, whether you are aware or not, there are spiritual activities happening. Please listen to me. Men don't just fail. The job don't just, it doesn't just stop coming. And the employment letter doesn't just come. Members don't just come. Money doesn't just come. Anointing doesn't just come. Your prayer is not just answered. Nobody just likes you like that. You've heard me say it again and again. For every man who favors you, he has relatives who are in need. So what will make him leave them and come to you? Is God speaking to us? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Job 33 and verse 38. Job was frustrated. Sorry, 38, 33, 33, 38. Give us 38 of 33. Or give us, okay, thank you. You're correct. Job was frustrated. And the Bible says Job summoned God. I've talked about it again and again, Pastor. A man in his annoyance and anger summoned God, and God came. In our meetings, we clash cymbals. We blow trumpets to bring God. We do everything and say, God, you must show up. And we share the grace, and nothing happens. Yet here is a man. What did Job do that brought God? Can you do it to bring God in your family, in your business? And God came. And here's the question that the Lord asked Job. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Do you know that heaven itself operates by mysteries? And then he says, do you know those secrets? And if you do, canst thou establish the dominion thereof in the earth? If you know the secrets by which heaven runs itself, can you reproduce it? God has never had to get up from his throne to supervise loyalty. There is a spiritual system that creates adherence. He's not insecure. He's, even when Lucifer was creating trouble, God didn't stand up. Michael came. Abalakotaya. The level of dexterity in the realm of the spirit. He said, do you know how heaven regulates itself? That God is sitting on a throne and controlling everything through creation without having to stand up. That means you can be in a position of rest and command strange results. That people say, no, I'm not seeing the effort. You are engaging mysteries. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? And canst thou establish their dominion? It was the centurion that taught us the power of authority. Jesus was on his way in honor to the man and said, look, I'm coming to your house to pray for your daughter. And he said, no, Jesus, there is something I know. For I am a man under authority. I'm under the authority of the Roman government. And on the strength of that authority, I can tell one, go, and he will go. I can tell another, come, and he will come. Jesus, you are not on your own. You are also under an authority. And the influence of your authority spans through creation. Just speak the word only. Jesus said, I have not found such faith. I have not found such understanding. Who gave you this body of truth? Because I'm meeting you for the first time. So which other apostle and prophet taught you this? Who mentored you? He said, I have not found this faith. That you understand the possibilities that can come when men are under authority. One of the lights. Mary said, how shall these things be, Pastor? Seeing that I know not a man. And he gave her the secret. He said, the power of the highest. That means there is something the power of the highest can do upon the life of a man that can cause some to prophesy, although he's not a prophet. There is something the power of the highest can do upon a man that can cause Samson to tear the lion, in spite of the fact that physically he may not have that capacity. So men can do unusual things, and the mystery is that the power of the highest. He didn't say, I will empower Joseph. Remember, Joseph was about to divorce her. Madam, don't disgrace me. I've kept a clean track record. It's not in marrying you that you will change my image. And the angel said, no, don't do that. The power of the highest. What do you not know in this kingdom? Are we together? Look at this. Jesus is standing with Peter. And Peter finishes speaking by the Spirit. And the next moment, Pastor, Peter is talking to Jesus now. Jesus, you are not going to the cross. We love you too much. You would think Jesus should turn and say, disciples, all of you are selfish people. So you've been waiting for me to die. So you have access to my estate. Peter is the only compassionate person. Jesus looks at Peter and says, get thee behind me, Satan. He taught us something about Satan. Deception and manipulation is based on something positive within you. Satan will use your strength to kill you. It's a revelation. He will not use your weakness all the time. The strength of Peter was his compassion and his attachment towards God. We have thought that it's always weakness. Satan can use strength.
Master, you are powerful. Turn this stone to bread. That's not a weakness. That's a strength. I tap into your ability. That means I need to guard both my strength and my weakness. I can't guard my weakness and leave my strength. Satan can use both. Look how seamless he manipulated Peter. And the Bible tells us the remedy. The system of guarding your strength and your weakness is the ministry of prayer. The Bible says, Peter, Satan desired to sift you like wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. He said, when you are converted, use this same formula. Strengthen your brethren. That means if I engage in prayer just as an activity of easing guilt, so that the brethren around will not think I'm not spiritual, I can continue to dissipate spiritual energy without result. But if I understand that part of the dimensions allocated to prayer is the ability to keep me stable, manage my weaknesses, amplify my strength, then no one will need to tell me pray. I'm praying with understanding. Is God speaking to us? A lot of things that we do in the kingdom, now I'm speaking apostolically and it doesn't necessarily refer to this church, but a lot of things we do in the kingdom is in ignorance. That's the reason why we don't get results. We can be indoctrinated into a ritual of activities, having the form of godliness, the Bible says, but denying the power. In fact, the Bible says, ever learning. He said, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. He said, from such depart. When you find a man, create a system to avoid him. He's cancerous. A man that continues to be puffed up in supposed spiritual knowledge. The pride is not in the accumulation of scripture or the oratory. The ability to cause the word to become flesh. God can do this. God will do this. God will change your story. Do you believe? Yes. Where is that God? My situation stands before him almost forever. And then we tell people, make sure you don't go to any herbalist. Make sure you don't go to your village. And the people in your village laugh and say, come back home. Leave all these enlightened people who want to deceive you. There is a dimension of result that is allocated for our generation. And hear me, brothers and sisters, we are in the season. We are at the edge of a new revival that is coming. Not just in the world, not just in Africa, even in this nation. We are standing at the threshold of something new that is beginning. And it will come on the strength of the light that we have. In this kingdom, we reign by light. Light is not memorization of scripture. Light is that the book is open to you. Because the Bible tells us that both the learned and unlearned, for them, that book is closed. The seal must be open. He said, I wept for no man was worthy to open the book and unlock the scroll. And an elder tapped me and said, weep not, for the lion of the tribe of Judah is worthy, the root of David is worthy to open the book and unlock the scroll. He said, I looked at the throne and I didn't see a lion. I saw a lamb as though had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. Perfect authority that is brought about by perfect revelation. Your authority. If you have two eyes, you have two horns. If you have one eye, you have one horn. Your authority in the kingdom is tied to your ability to see the dimension of light and spiritual illumination that comes. If it is seven horns, then it was brought about by seven eyes. I may have one horn because of one eye, one dimension, one mystery in the kingdom. The Lord is challenging us this morning. We'll find somewhere to stop. I just sensed when I was coming, I'm going to pray for the sick a little this morning. I just sensed in my spirit that anointing is here when I was coming in. But then listen very carefully. It is time that we challenge ourselves. This church is standing today. Yes, it is the grace of God, Pastor, but grace and peace is multiplied through knowledge. Remember, grace and peace is not multiplied through desire. Desire is the starting point. Proverbs 18 verse 1. It says, through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. So the desire is the starting point, but you don't stop there. The desire separates you to search, to seek. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 4. Let's find somewhere to pray. If we can have it in Amplified, that would be great. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 4. Let's read verse 3 and then we'll read verse 4. God came from Tema. I wish we could get Amplified, but that's all right. He says, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. Please listen. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. Look at the results. And then verse 4. He says, and his brightness was as what? The light. Coming out of where? His hands. And there, in that light that came out of his hand, was the hiding place of his power. The power of God has a location. He hides in his power in his light. He stretched forth his hand. What you didn't see is the light. So when a man of God lays hands on the sick, it's not really the hands. When a man of God speaks, it's not really the words. There is a mystery. The Bible says in that light is the hiding place of his power. His power is hidden in his light. His power to prosper is hidden in his light. The spiritual illumination that prospers you, his power to lift you up is hidden in that light. Not just the word, not just scripture, not just head knowledge. There is the light that comes out. You can have scripture and not have the word. The Bible entirely is not necessarily the word of God. It is the part of it that contains the spirit and life of God. Because in this Bible, Satan spoke, demons spoke, men spoke in the depravity of their minds. Are we together? Look at how Jesus conducted his impartation service, Pastor. When he resurrected, after spending 3.5 years mentoring and teaching these people, did you know there was never a hand-laying service? All that happened was a dispensing of light. Light. When he got up, he knew that he was behind schedule for dying for 3 days. 3 days lecture took 40 days to complete. And when he completed the 40 days lecture, he looked at them. He said, I'm good to go. Just hurry. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The real impartation was not just Pentecost. The light. There were things he told them. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 that he met with them for 40 days teaching them on the matters of the kingdom. The anointing of the Holy Spirit coming on them would not have done much except that the light was already present within them. I hope you know that your level of spiritual illumination is what gives value to the potentials of the anointing. That's why if I am anointed and I'm bankrupt of light, the anointing will look small. The oil was there, but the vessel carrying it was small. So it limited the potential of the oil. The prophet said, no, the secret is not more oil. Enlarge. Stretch. Enlarge your capacity. And the oil was hearing that discussion. The moment they brought more vessels, the oil said, now I'm ready to reveal the full potential of what is within me. Light. 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 Paul spent 19 years in the wilderness of Arabia. 19 years feasting on the mysteries of the Spirit. He told us in Ephesians chapter 3 that how by revelation it was granted unto him the mystery of Christ, so that whoever reads his writing will know the basis for his authority and audacity. Light. When you have light, you do not fear the night again. When you have light, no matter what happens, you are fortified by knowledge. It says wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your time. When your life is not stable and you move at everything, oh God, are you there? Are you not there? There is something you do not know. He keepeth them in perfect peace whose minds are stayed towards him. When the enemy begins to plot things and you fidget around, it's because you do not know. You've not had the light that says the rod of the wicked shall not fall upon the lot of the righteous, lest they dip their hands in iniquity. So God knows that there is a level of pressure that can push a believer to do things he did not want to do. And so for the sake of his jealousy, he will protect you. Are you aware of that? So when someone looks at you and says, I will make sure you don't succeed, you look at him and say, no. You surround yourself with mysteries like chariots, and you stand and dare life to his face, like David stood before Goliath. I sense in my spirit that God is waking someone up this morning and saying, son, your life can be better than this. There is a level of illumination that can come upon your ministry. There is a level of illumination that can come upon your life. It can't continue to be this way. Lord, what is the secret that commands favor? Why is my life like this? Why is my life like this? The Bible says Gentiles shall come. I'm even looking for the Gentiles and they are not here. It's enough that I'm the one looking for them and then they are not even here. But my Bible says, arise, shine. It says, for thy light. Remember, the beginning of that conversation is not Gentiles and kings, it is light. The subject matter there is light. Arise, 60 verse 1, Isaiah. Shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Verse 2 says, for darkness shall cover the earth. It says, and gross darkness the people. The same expression that was used in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, is the Hebrew word Tohuwa Bohu. It's the word that means confusion and chaos. Confusion and chaos. Lack of accuracy and understanding will cover the earth, and a greater part of that upon the people. But it says, upon thee, the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, the essence, his light, shall be seen upon thee. And then verse 3 says, Gentiles shall come. Hallelujah. Gentiles shall come. No matter where I am. No matter where I am. Like a herbalist is at the backside of the mountain, and a politician will inconvenience himself, pack his jeep and trek for 1 hour because he needs something. That means Gentiles will not just come to me. They are too wicked to come to me by myself. But there is light. This treasure that is in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God. God puts that light within you. I found my way out of mediocrity. There is a light. Hallelujah. My background may not be advantageous, but there is a light that can compel Gentiles. No more inferiority. I've found my way. I'm not trying to confess myself to positivity. I know as a settled revelation that there is light that can come upon you. You enter your Sabbath. You rest. Whoever mocks you is wasting his time. The darkness in the world will force them to look for you. Gentiles shall come to your life, and their kings, in spite of their arrogance, because your light will continue to shine. Their kings have results. They won't come to your light. They will keep watching. They are hearing what you are doing and they are watching. They will act as though you are not as you should not be as celebrated as they are celebrating you. But when the brightness continues, like Sheba kept hearing of the exploits of Solomon. She was too proud to come because she had results too. But when the results of Solomon became consistent and ever increasing, she broke her pride and carried her luggages and was on her way. And the Bible says when she came to the temple of Solomon and saw that there were 7 lions that sat on all sides of his chariot, made of his throne, made of pure gold, and all the utensils in his chambers were made of gold. The Bible says she had no breath in her. She said, half of this was not told me.
Here I am in your presence. Do to me what you want. My generation is dependent on this. I'm open before you, Lord. Do to me what you want. You promised me that if I came to you, you would lift me up. Here I am in your presence. Oh, do to me what you want. I'm open before you, Lord. Do to me what you want. This is the place of encounter. Do to me what you want.
Hey,
this is the place of surrender. Do to me what you want. This is the place where my life is changed. Do to me what you want.
Let me sing the song one more time and you hear it.
Hey, here I am in your presence. Do to me what you want.
Lord, my life can never be the same.
I'm open before you, Lord. Do to me what you want. Here I am in your presence. Do to me what you want. I'm open before you, Lord. Do to me what you want.
Let me tell you something. This morning we are in a threshing floor. It's time for God to make you. God is saying there is something I have put within you. Rejoice not over me, my enemies. I may look weak, and you are right in doing so, but I'm at the threshing floor. There is something, a marvelous light. The Spirit of the Lord is putting something within my heart, putting something within my life. I know that there is an anointing. I know that there is a revelation that comes upon me. Regardless of my background, they may say, can anything good come out of neither state? Gentiles shall come, not to you. They are not interested in you. To your light. To your light. To your light. When your words become like the word of God, Gentiles will follow you. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. We are in a time right now where the world is unapologetic about results. The world has no loyalty to any particular person. If you cannot bear fruits that represent the purposes and the counsel of God, then you will live your life in anger and frustration and annoyance. It's time to step into the business world with a dimension of insight that cannot be bought in the market. A level of spiritual illumination that came directly from the throne. It's time to approach your academics with a dimension of intelligence. He said that Daniel had the understanding of the gods. It's time to approach ministry with a dimension of results that will make men know that this one, I testify. Your goodness is real, I testify. Your goodness is real. Your favor is real, I testify. That's the testimony God wants to give you. Your favor is real, I testify. Your blessings are real, I testify. I testify, I testify. Your goodness is real. Have you not read that we are living epistles? Meaning, if someone forgot his Bible at home, he shouldn't feel bad when he sees you. Written upon you is a testament of the possibilities of God. Your life is an effulgence of scriptures, showing men what God can do through yielded vessels. He wanted to read that I will restore the years, but he left his Bible at home and left his phone at home and was feeling bad. But when he saw you, he saw through your life and your testimony. The scripture I forgot to read at home, I'm reading it now in a man, that it is possible for God to restore a man. He said, thou anointest my head with oil. Thou dost not anoint my cup. The cup is what I want to overflow, but the mystery is what comes on my head. Thou anointest my head with oil, but the result happens in my cup. So when my cup is not overflowing, the goal is not to look for water. The goal is to look for what must come on my head. What is around you is controlled by what is upon you. Let me say it again. The possibilities that happen around you are governed by the mysteries that are upon you. Thou anointest my ministry with oil. The results overflow. For I am a man under authority, he says. Then I tell one, be pregnant, and she's pregnant. I tell one, may your life change, and he doesn't just say amen. I don't just speak, I program possibilities. By the creative power of God, that you make things happen, thank you, that have no business happening. You had no business being blessed today, but you came under an atmosphere where certain possibilities were programmed over your life, and you walk out of this place and it's like a charm, like it happened to Esther. The Bible says every man who looked upon her, once you saw Esther's eyes, you were compelled to bless her. What kind of a woman was that? To the point that King Ahasuerus himself, when he saw Esther, he said, no, I don't just want to bless you, you are my wife, you will stay with me here. You may be weak in yourself, but ask Mephibosheth what happened to him that took him to the palace. No legs to walk, but there was something on him. And the king says, this is where you will eat from today. Are you ready to cry unto God? I truly want to stretch us in this conference so that we will aim for something. He said, let your light, the word let is permit, pastor. Permit your light, that light that entered you. Watch how it works. Permit your light to so shine, not before angels, before men, that they may see. That means it can be seen. That they may see, not your light, your results, your good deeds. So it comes to you as light, but it manifests as results. It says that men may see, and by seeing they will glorify your Father in heaven. Galatians chapter 3, I think it's the last verse, says, and they glorified God in me. Was it chapter 1 or chapter 3? And they glorified God in me. Not they glorified God in heaven. They glorified God in me. Jesus was praying in John 17 verse 1. We're going to pray. He says, Father. This is Jesus talking to the Father now. John 17 and verse 1. He says, Father, the hour has come. Someone prophesy to yourself. Say, the hour has come. No, say it with understanding. The hour has come. Then it says, glorify now thy son, that thy son may bring glory to you. That your son may bring glory to you. God is glorified when the saints are glorified. I watched pastor here and I learned a powerful lesson. Pastor, when your dear wife introduced you here, she was on her way going, and you knew as a faithful husband that it would be unfair to not recognize her, and you called her back to prove you are fully married. So her honoring you put pressure on your integrity. So as the bride of Christ, when I stand and represent him well, I put pressure upon his integrity to come as that faithful husband to prove that betrothal was legal. That means if your wife said, welcome my husband and this, and you left her alone, we will start suspecting. And say, are we sure that this marriage is in place? That means if I stand as a man of God claiming to be the bride of a faithful husband, and I say in the name of Jesus, husband, visit your people and nothing happens, we need to check the papers of that marriage again. And we need to check what is happening within the context of that marriage. There are many things that happen when marriage is real. There is a sharing of authority. There is a sharing of dominion. This is the place of encounter. That's what you have come to do. It's not just a morning service. This is the place of surrender. This is the place where my life is changed. Do to me what you want. Here I am in your presence. Oh, do to me what you want. I can't go back the same, oh God. I'm open before you, Lord. Do to me what you want. I lay my ministry. I lay my life. Here I am in your presence.
to me what you want. Shalabakato Sayama. Come out and before you, Lord. Father, I refuse to go back the same this morning. Let the light from heaven that will separate me fall upon me now. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, I'm tired of being at the same position in ministry, at the same position, preaching with no result, doing business with no result. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I know tonight is a miracle service, but like I told you, I sense in my spirit that the Lord wants to heal certain people. But one of the things that I sense again in my spirit is that I sense activations. Please give me volume, Mike. I sense that there are activations. Someone's spirit has been provoked. You have seen your ministry and you have seen the possibilities, and it's time to dive into this water. You are saying, Lord, this anointing is not privy to just a select people. There has to be something in my life. Are we together? And so I will take a few minutes. Pastor has granted me access to a few minutes. I just want to pray for the sick. But then much more than that, I'm trusting that someone's life, that you can look at your life and trace that from quantum leap, something shifted spiritually. Something shifted. That as a man of God, the next time you hold the mic is fire from heaven. All of a sudden you say, from whence cometh this? Hallelujah! Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father who is seated on the throne. Hallelujah! Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. You are seated on the throne. Very simple song. Say, Hallelujah! Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father, you are seated on the throne. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father, you are seated on the throne. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Glory to the Lamb. The Father, you are seated on the throne. Pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Father, you are seated on the throne. Hallelujah. Time to shift you to a new dimension. Father, you are seated on the throne.
be welcome here tonight. You are seated on the throne. Shena mala na mate mala na na na, shana na na na. Vena na ba shera la ma shera la ma shera la. Shala ba karanda sabaria takusha. Endele keto shala dasya. Please help those under the anointing. I'm about to pray now. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you now. I know that we'll have time in the night, but I want to pray for you. I'm seeing fire, literally. I'm seeing it being put on people. I want you to bring all of them out. That fire, Lord Jesus, I stretch my hands now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, there are people that need to be shifted. That fire is a fire that is coming upon your spirit man, coming upon your ministry. Right now, at the count of three, I declare and declare, in the name of Jesus, may that fire come upon you, inside, overflow, outside. Right now, in the name of Jesus, receive of that fire. Receive of that fire. I ignite that fire now. Bring them out. Step into a new dimension. Shako katabarakata. Embreketos sabarakatos. Eketeketeketa. Drink of the wine of the Spirit. That fire upon your life. You will never be the same. They are quantum leap. God is taking you to a new dimension. I shift you in the Spirit. I shift you in the Spirit. Man of God, woman of God, it's time for a new level of anointing. It's time for a new level of grace, a new dimension in the Spirit. You reign, bring them out. Hello, Father, in the name of Jesus, here at Quantum Leap, everyone, I'm just going to pray one prayer and then I pray for the sick. Hallelujah. Now, watch this. Please look at me. I want to give you an instruction because of what will happen when I pray. The Lord is asking me to release the grace for speed. Now, listen. Whether you are an usher or not, you are going to find people trying to run up from their seat by the anointing. Please help the ushers so we don't have casualties here. Are we together now? Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I decree and declare that anointing for speed. Right now I stretch my hand. Receive that grace now. Speed. 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 I take away delay from your life. I command speed. I prophesy speed. No more delay. I shift you. Step into a new dimension. I release speed by the power that is in the name of Jesus. Out on the rock, I command speed. I command speed. 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 Have you heard this proverb? That in one day, a city is built. That in one day, a nation is built. He said, but as soon as Zion travails, I'm prophesying to you. Some of you, the grace that is coming upon you, it will not be up to 1 month. You will do what you have not done in 5 years together. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah. We'll take our time to pray for the sick, and we may not have the time to take testimonies now. We have to end. But let me obey what God is saying. This man, sir, look at me. Your life is about to change. I don't know your family, but I'm seeing an angel of the Lord pouring oil on you. And the Lord is saying, I should prophesy to you that you are stepping into a new dimension. Receive that grace now. I stretch my hand. That grace comes upon you. You will never, never, never be the same. Never be the same. Never be the same. Listen, please, let me say this. I usually will not do this, and I've not even discussed with pastor. If it means you gathering the whole city to bring them tonight, this is not just House on the Rock. It's hosted by House on the Rock, but it's the Lord of Hosts. Because tonight we want to trust God to shift people, especially pastors. Please, as many pastors as will not mind, if they are okay to come. I sense in my spirit that we need to shift ourselves to superior dimensions in the spirit. Tonight we are going to trust God, not just to heal the sick, but to take away age-long captivities. Right now I declare, you are sick in your body. I'm going to pray. Someone is going to shout under the anointing to the hearing of everybody, and then I'll just minister to the sick. I don't know why it happens. Just let me do my crazy thing up here. Right now, in the name of Jesus, after that shout, I will pray. The power of God will touch the sick, will take the testimonies in the evening alongside other testimonies. Lord, I give you praise. 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 Now I'm ready to pray for the sick. I decree and I declare. Help them, please. I command every devil of infirmity. If you have never believed a man of God in your life, I want you to believe. Please help those at the back. Look at what God is doing there. Now in the name of Jesus, I take authority over the spirit of infirmity. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. There's a lot of healing going on in the overflow up. I'm seeing a lot of angelic activities going up the overflow above. Be healed in the name of Jesus. The overflow outside, be healed in the name of Jesus. I cut every devil of infirmity. And in the name of Jesus, I decree, let the healing power of Jesus touch you now. All of you in front, I want to pray for you now. You came out for various reasons. I stretch my hands right now that at the count of three, let that anointing that has come upon you, may it work and produce strange results in your life. 1, 2, 3. In the name of Jesus, please help them. I activate that grace. I activate that grace.
I activate that grace. I activate that anointing. You will never be the same. Touched by the hands of the mighty one. The Bible says the light that came out from his hand, there is the hiding place of his power.
Thanksgiving offering, as Koinonia is here, I want you to just, there will be a